Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Morning, church. I'd like to pray before we begin. Father in heaven, I want to thank you this morning for bringing us here together. Lord, some of us have planned to be here, and I praise God for it. Some of us have not planned to be here. And so, Lord, I realize you have brought us for a specific reason. I also want to thank you for the freedom to worship you on Sabbath morning. You realize there are many places in the world where they may be imprisoned if they worship you this Sabbath in the church community. And so we want to thank you for the religious freedom that you have given us here as well. And Lord, I pray most of all that you will be the one speaking to us, each one of us, including me, and that we all will be challenged and blessed and challenged to go out and do something for you. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the summer of 1998. My mother came to visit myself and two of my siblings here in the States. She lived and still lives in Europe. And when the summer was over, my brother was now taking her to the airport. It was September. And my brother was driving to the JFK airport, New York airport. And originally she came with KLM, great airline. It's a Dutch airline. I know there's some Dutch people here. Love flying with KLM. But that airline went on strike. The employees went on strike. And so now she was reassigned to fly with Swiss Air. So they're on the way to the airport. And of course, my brother called my aunt in Czech to let her know that my mother is coming on a certain flight. It was Swiss Air, flight 111. And because of the time difference, while my brother and my mom are driving to the airport, my aunt is now sleeping. Okay, it's now middle of the night in Czech, and she has that information about my mother coming a certain time on a certain airline. Now, of course, because of the time difference, I'm going to take you now what happened in the morning. My aunt wakes up and turns the TV on, and there's headline news. The headline news talks about a plane crashing in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean near North America. Now, my aunt goes into this panic mode, thinking, you know, that for sure that must be my sister. And she picked up the paper, and her worst fears were confirmed. It was the flight, Swiss Air Flight 111, that crashed into the Atlantic Ocean. She called my dad and with this devastating news, and it was just too hard to absorb. They spoke with her the day before, and she was, and now she's not. I'm going to take you back now to my mom and my brother. They're traveling to the airport. They're checking in at the counter of the Swiss Air Flight 111, for the Flight 111. And as the lady is, trying to get everything done for her, as she's holding her passport, she says something that would change everything. She says, "Mrs. Metz, I see your check. We have a flight with Czech Airlines. It's a direct flight. How would you like to take that flight?" My brother was trying to convince her that Swiss Air is more, better plane, better service. But my mom's like, "Yeah, I'll take that one." So she quickly prints the boarding pass for her, and she says, "You have 15 minutes. The flight leaves in 15 minutes. Mrs. Metz, here is your boarding pass. Run." And my mother runs and catches the plane. 229 other passengers were not that lucky. There were 229 casualties on that plane. The Bible says in Psalm 74:20, "For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." That's really the place the devil made out of this world. A dark place full of habitations of cruelty. And that's the world that Jesus came into. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35, and it says, "Then Jesus went about all the villages and cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." It says that Jesus came to teach, he came to preach, and he came to heal. In Luke 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." David Livingston puts that in beautiful words. He said, "God had an only son, and he made him a missionary." God had an only son, and he made him a missionary. Verse 36, it says, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. When Jesus looked at the people, he was moved. And if you look at the Greek word, it was moved with the deepest emotions that the man can have. He was moved as he saw the people, because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And of course, the Bible refers to shepherds as ministers, as leaders, spiritual leaders of our churches. Just heard this testimony a couple of days ago. Jeff was attending a Sunday keeping church, and he was not satisfied. He said he was not fed. He said one Sunday morning, as he listens to the sermon, he's thinking to himself, "That is not biblical, what this preacher is talking about." So he has decided that after the message, he would go and talk to the minister. And he says, "Pastor so-and-so, what you have preached about today was not biblical." And he says, "I know, but it sounds good." And so he's been praying, "Lord, I want a church that preaches the Bible." One Friday evening, he prayed that prayer. He says, "Lord, show me the right church." The next morning, Sabbath morning, three people showed up at his church, at his door. He said, "How would you like to study the Bible with us?" He says, "I would love to study the Bible with you." When I listened to that story, I said, "Praise God." Till I found out those were Jehovah's Witnesses. A couple hours later, there was a knock at the door again. There was a minister at the door saying, "I'd like to study the Bible with you to prove you I'm part of the right, we have the message and we are the right church." He says, "I would love to study the Bible with you." He was a Baptist minister. It was in the afternoon, there was another knock at the door, same day. Two young people came to the door and they said, "We would like to study the Bible with you." They said, "I would love to study the Bible with you." Those were two Mormon missionaries who came to the door. It was a couple hours later when there was another knock at the door. I tell you what, as I listen to this story, I'm thinking he must have prayed that prayer aloud, because the devil heard it and he won't answer that prayer. Amen? Finally, there was a last knock for the day at the door. There was a pastor. He said, "A month ago, a couple of our young people came to your door, shared some Christian books with you, and we want to know if you would like to study the Bible with us." He says, "I would love to study the Bible with you." The Jehovah's Witnesses came back and they studied for 3 months. The Baptist minister never showed up. The two Mormon missionaries never showed up. And our pastor faithfully studied the Bible with him till Jeff was baptized. You see, it says that that they are like sheep scattered having no shepherd. And what they need is they need a spiritual leader. I have to find myself in the notes here. We'll continue in the story. I'm looking at verse 37. It says, Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." It says, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest in your businesses, in your workplaces is plentiful. The harvest in your neighborhoods is plentiful. The harvest in around the church is plentiful. This summer we had a group of young people staying right here, and it was Friday morning. There was a yard sale going on just across the street, and one of the girls had an idea. Let's go and share some glow tracks with them. And I don't know who that person was, but that person ended up coming to church that Sabbath. There was a lady in Mongolia. She read this verse about the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And she realized the harvest is ready in my neighborhood. And so she ended up start visiting with people. This was illegal, but she started visiting with people, inviting them to come and study the Bible with her. And there were a couple who showed up. And then there were four more who showed up. And soon there was 10 worshiping together. Before too long, there were 20 worshiping in her home. And that group grew into 40 people meeting every Sabbath in her home. The authorities found out about it and they brought her in, and they said, you know, what you're doing is illegal, and if you don't stop, you will be going to prison. And if you go in the prison sentence is 1 year. So you have a choice to make. She made her choice, and she ended up not having church service in her home, but rather in somebody else's home. And then they would take turns, and different families would have all the people worshiping together. Very soon, the authorities caught up with her plan. They brought her in. They said, "We have warned you. And now you will be going before the judge." And she did. And she was sentenced to 1 year of prison. She went to the prison, but she realized that the harvest is plentiful even in the prison. And she was an older lady, and there were some young girls who were prostitutes, used to be prostitutes, and were thieves, and they were troublemakers in the society. Very soon she became the mother of that group. And within 6 months, half of the group, she reached out to the half of the group. She was studying the Bible with half of the ladies in the prison. The authorities brought her in, or the prison guards brought her in. They said, "We made a big mistake. You should have never ended up here, because before you would have to go and seek out people. Now we brought all these people to you." So after 6 months, they said, "We are sending you away from the prison. You will be no longer in the prison." She says, "No way. That would be illegal. You have sentenced me for 1 year. I'm staying here till my term is up." The Lord helped her realize that the harvest was plentiful even in the prison. And so anywhere we go, there's a harvest. The problem is not with the harvest. The problem is with the fact that there's not enough laborers to do the work. There's a quote I'm sure you're familiar with. "The best help that ministers can give to the members of our churches is not sermonizing, but planning work for them. Let all be taught how to work." So when you see Pastor Corey next Sabbath, maybe not next Sabbath, but if he's here and he preaches too much, tell him the best work is not for you to keep preaching to us, but rather train us. Amen? And then in verse 38, it says, "Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You look at the word pray, the word pray in the Greek language is really to be begging him, to be begging with a passion. not just pray to the Lord of the harvest, but be begging, Lord, send out laborers into your harvest. And the Greek word for send out is to cast out. As I think about this verse, I think about that we can be an answer to our own prayer. Lord, send out, provide the laborers to finish the work, and then come forward to that call ourselves. Be an answer to our own prayer. How we can pray and say, God, let me hear the silent cries of that neighbor who's dealing with cancer. Let me be an answer. Let me hear the silent cry of my coworker who has a son who is struggling. Let me be the light. Let me be the salt. Let me be cast out. I know the Lord will love to answer that kind of prayer. A few months ago, I was traveling down to Tennessee. It was a 9-hour trip, and it was maybe 45 minutes of traveling when my boy asked me a question. What do you think the question was? Are we almost there? I felt so bad for him. There were still 8 hours to go. And that question was repeated many more times as we traveled. Now, mothers, I want you to finish this for me. What is the question the children will ask as you are making food? Is the food almost ready, right? You know, the question that mothers would love to hear is, Mom, what can I do to help you prepare the supper, right? Prepare the dinner. It's not any different with our God, with our Lord Jesus. You know, oftentimes we say, how soon, Lord? How much longer? You know, as we see the suffering in the world, we say, how much longer do we have to wait? How much longer will it take you for you to finish that great supper that you have told us in the Bible? And yet, the question he wants to hear is, what can we do to help prepare the great supper? Now that is something, that's the question I'm raising, and I have some solutions to this. This morning I'm here to talk about GLOW. We are launching GLOWathon this morning. GLOWathon is a GLOW marathon, 26 days of glowing. That's when every member, whether you're young or whether you're older, everybody's involved in sharing GLOW tracks. This is from the writings of Ellen White. It says, our publishing work was established by the direction of God and under His special supervision. It was designed to accomplish a specific purpose. The specific purpose, here we go, the publications sent forth from our printing houses are to prepare a people to meet God. Throughout the world, they are to do the same work that was done by John the Baptist for the Jewish nation. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? John the Baptist had a great work to do. And it says the publications will do the same work that was done by John the Baptist. Publications must be multiplied and scattered like the leaves of Adam. These silent messengers are enlightening and molding the minds of thousands in every country and in every clime. As I studied the history of the publishing work in our churches, and even before our church was organized, this is the time of 1840 through 1844. Joshua V. Himes became kind of the manager for William Miller, and he was a big believer in producing magazines and tracts. And just to give you an example, within 4 years, the Advent message was proclaimed in different cities by, and here's the list of different magazines for different cities, like the Midnight Cry, the Glad Tidings, the Jubilee Trumpet, and then one of them was the Signs of the Times. Signs of the Times became so popular that a secular press came to Joshua V. Himes, and they said, we want to buy this magazine from you, because they realized they could make a lot of money. The circulation of Signs of the Times was so large, they realized they could make a big profit if they only owned that magazine. Before the great disappointment of October 24, 1844, 8 million copies of Adventist literature found its way to the people and spread the word. 8 million. Now, to put this in perspective, At that time, we had around 20 million people, around maybe 4 or 5 million households. That means every household was reached with the Advent message. Joseph Bates himself was reached through reading a Sabbath tract, and then he was one of the champions of writing about the Sabbath. One of the first tracts he wrote was entitled The Seventh Day Sabbath, a perpetual sign from the beginning to the entering into the gates of the holy city according to the commandment. Now, that is an interesting title. I think that's a cultural thing. Today, we would just simply call it the sign or something like that. Now, Ellen and James White read his tract, and that's what made them believe in the Sabbath message as well. And then Ellen had a vision about how we must begin to print. And it was in 1848, and then 1849 is when James White put together the first paper called The Present Truth. And it was dealing with the Sabbath message. Now, here's a picture, an illustration of what it looked like. They all gathered together in their home. They folded the Present Truth magazines, and then they knelt down and asked God to bless the magazines. You see, you cannot be sharing literature. You cannot be doing the work without the blessings of God. Then in 1860s, something very, very interesting happened. There were four women who first came together to pray for their sons. They prayed for their children. You see, even back then, they struggled with their children. They had to pray for them. That then moved on to, they started to visit the sick, they minister to the needy, and they started to distribute tracts. Can you still see the slide? Okay. And so it was called the Vigilant Missionary Society. Stephen Haskell worked in the area. In fact, these women start meeting at his home, and he envisioned that this thing can grow so much bigger. Now, Stephen Haskell was reached into the message through a tract as well. You see, he was a Sunday-keeping Christian, and somebody came and gave him a tract called Elihu on the Sabbath. And he read the tract. In fact, he was on a boat in Canada. He's traveling to Canada, and he was on a boat reading this tract. And finally, 5 hours before he would reach, 5 miles before he would reach the destination, he finally got off the boat. And he went into the woods. And for the rest of the day, he struggled with the Lord. By the evening time, he accepted the Sabbath message. So he himself, just like Joseph Bates, just like James and Ellen White, Stephen Haskell, was also reached through the work of the publishing work. Now, the Vigilant Missionary Society then was renamed to the North England Tract Missionary Society, and then every state that had own tract and missionary society, then the General Conference embraced it, and it went into the whole world, and it was called the General Tract and Missionary Society. Today, we call this the personal ministries. So four women have started the personal ministries department in our church. It says this work rallied practically the whole membership and the children to the circulation of tracts and periodicals, both by personal contacts and by correspondence. So you can see this was a ministry of young and old. Everybody loved sharing tracts and books and pamphlets. Today, we have 63 publishing houses, 370 languages, 327 periodicals, and 2,100 publishing workers, and we have almost 24,000 literature evangelists around the world. Today, we're specifically talking about GLOW. How can we share GLOW? My assistant, Leroy, will be passing out little packets, and we'll be looking inside those packets in just a little bit. GLOW, giving light to our world. GLOW started in 2007. It was started by a young man by the name Nelson Ernst. He was 22 years old. He started through reading the Coldwater Ministry and through the book called The Publishing Ministry. And since that time, we have printed 41 million glow tracks, and they are now in over 45 languages. Glowathon, 26 days. The main goal is to distribute as many glow tracks as possible. And the way we do it is deep and wide, or being intentional and being widespread. It's not about necessarily about Saturday afternoon outreach. It's about you take it to the work, you take it to the gas station, you take it to the store, you take it everywhere you go, and you are intentional about it. How do we glow? This Seventh-day Adventist nurse loved to glow. And so as she was traveling to work, it was evening time, she was heading to the hospital, she pulled in the gas station to get some gas, and she noticed that there were inside some men. There was some man inside the gas station, so she gathered some glow tracks. I will take a packet for myself. And she walked inside the gas station, not realizing that gas station was being robbed. It was an armed robbery. And she walked up to the man who had a gun pointing at the owner of the gas station. And she said, "Sir, are you in line?" He said, "Are you crazy, lady? This is a robbery." She says, "I know, but I need to pay for gas. I'll be late for work." And he started cursing at her. She said, "That was not very nice. Here, you need this. This will make you a better man." And she hands him a glow track. He takes it in, and the other robbers start screaming and cursing. And she said, "You need one too." And then she says, she starts preaching to them. She says, "You really need to leave this man alone. He's just trying to make an honest living." They could not believe what they were hearing. They looked at each other and they said, "We better get out of here because this lady will turn us in." And they ran off. The owner was shaken up and he wanted to see what she had, because whatever she had saved his life. And then he asked her for a stack of glow tracks, and he kept glow tracks in the gas station. Now that is not a perfect example of how we should be glowing. Amen? But if you open it up and take the blue card, I will share with you some ideas, some things we can do. And we'll be looking at the mindset. We'll be looking at the side that says glow mindset. You see, there is a possibility that starting today, you will always have glow tracks with you. And I would say praise God to that. But how do we get in habit of that? Number one, we want to read the glow tracks first. Because if we come and say, "You know, I have a glow track entitled, Where is God? Where I'm hurting. I read it. I've been really blessed by this. I know you'll be blessed too." It's much more significant than if we just simply hand them out. Number two, find location in the house and in the car. A location where it will always remind you, "Okay, I need to pick up some and take it with me today." Or as you're in the car, as you're leaving to go into a store, it will remind you, "Okay, I need to take a couple of them and take it with me to the store and look for opportunities to share them." Number three, you want to pray. We can pray, "Lord, send me to be the answer to the call, because the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few." And you pray for a divine appointment. God loves to answer those prayers. Amen. I was traveling to the West Coast one time. I was on the plane. And I prayed that God would somehow give me a divine appointment. And so I was on the first stretch of my first flight. Nothing happened. And then it was the second flight now. It was a big plane. I was sitting in the middle. You have two seats by the window on each side. And you have three seats in the middle. I was sitting here. And nobody was sitting in the middle, and there was somebody sitting on the other side. And I was just looked at the man and said, "Lord, is that the answer to my prayer for divine appointment?" We're just about to take off when a young lady marched from the back of the plane. She just came in front of me, and she says, "I'm going to sit right here." I said, "That's fine." She sat down, and we greeted each other a little bit, and then it was just silence. And then as we were flying, I noticed she was kind of shaking. She was nervous. And I said, I see you're nervous. She says, yeah, my flight is leaving. You see, she was flying to L.A., and from there she was flying to Australia. And she's watching the time, and she's like, oh, no, my flight is leaving me. And I said, I don't think they would schedule your flight like that, where you would not be able to catch the connecting flight. And I soon realized that she was looking at the Eastern time zone when you know, they schedule everything in California on the Pacific time zone, or on the Pacific time zone, I think it is called. And so we started to talk about what she was doing, and she says, I'm studying for the ministry. I said, that's wonderful. I'm involved in the ministry myself. And then I start sharing with her a little bit about tracks. I start sharing with her a little bit about what I was studying, and before too long, we were just excited to sit next to each other and just to share what the Lord has been doing for us. I gave her the Sabbath track. I gave her one, David Ashick's testimony about how he read The Great Controversy. And I was gave her his name. I said, you want to check him out? He lives in Australia right now. You want to listen to some of his messages. And I don't know what happened since, but I know that was a divine appointment. And so we want to pray for divine appointments each morning. And then we plan. We want to say, you know, I'm going to go and take two with me. I want to leave them somewhere or give it to somebody. And then simply hand them out. When you hand them out, you can say, you know, here's something to read, or here's a gift for you. One of the tracks is called Gift for You. Here's a little Christian track that I've enjoyed reading myself. When you turn on the other side, you can either give it to somebody, or you can just simply leave it in places. You can leave it with a tip in a restaurant. And when you do that, make sure you tip well. Right? There's a story told about a joint conference session in Indianapolis. The local said the Adventists came with 10 commandments and with $20 bill. And they didn't break either one. Okay? We were known for not being generous. And so when you do that, you have to be generous. Gas stations. You finish pumping the gas, you put the nozzle back, and you fold this glochar like this and just put it in the nozzle for the next person to take it. If you happen to travel, I travel sometimes. The first thing I do when I walk in my room, I open the Gideon Bible and I put a couple of tracts inside. Then I take the yellow pages and I open it in the pizza section. Now, if anybody uses yellow pages, is to find the pizza numbers, right? And so I put it in the pizza section to make it easier for them, and I make sure to put the track called Steps to Health, a little health message for them. Mail. You know, how many of you receive bills through mail? Okay, you can always send glow tracks through the mail. In fact, the ladies that I talked about, those four ladies who started to pray for the minister to the needy, they start sending the Adventist tracts and pamphlets even internationally. They had a huge ministry where they would send them out here in the United States as well as overseas. And they would hear back from the people who've been converted as a result of that. If you go in the store, you can leave it in the shopping cart. There was a father one time walking in the shop in Walmart, and when he picked up a shopping cart, he found a Sabbath tract. He took it home and he read it. He found it very interesting because his two girls just finished a VBS program in one of the churches, and they talked about Ten Commandments. And so the girls been asking him about, what is it? Why don't we keep the fourth commandment? He didn't know how to answer this question. But only a couple of weeks later, he's walking to Walmart and finds the Sabbath tract there. And he called in Glow office and requested Bible studies. Public restrooms, waiting rooms. I've heard many, many stories from hospital waiting rooms where people actually have shared glow tracks with people, left it in places, and then those people also found it. There was a man who called the glow office one day, and he said, I was in my own house, went to the restroom, his own bathroom, and found a glow track there. We have concluded since then that angels like to use glow as well. He found a Sabbath tract there. He read it. He happened to be keeping Sabbath for years, and he thought he was the only one. So he called in requesting Bible studies. Another way that we can get the GLOW ministry going in a big way is sponsoring a GLOW rack. It looks like this. It's a 6-pack of one. You can take it in the laundromats. You can take it in medical buildings. Let's say you have an office or something. You can place it there. Business offices, Christian bookstores. I don't know if you heard about the story from Mount Pleasant. One of the church members took it in the Christian bookstore, and they let him keep the GLOW rack there. And one of the tracks was one on Sabbath. Somebody else came in, and they picked up the track on Sabbath. He read it, and he went right back. And he asked the owner, he said, you guys are sharing those tracks here. And it was, I think it was a track called A Day to Remember. And he said, you have those Christian tracks in your store, but you're not following what those tracks are saying. He said, this one talks about how Saturday is the day to worship. Since then, the Christian bookstore has been closed on Sabbath. It's just amazing how God works in different ways. And so, the different ways, we actually have some GLOW racks in the back that you can yourself can sponsor. There may be some of you who will say, I like to sponsor, but I just don't know where to put it. Well, somebody else may know where to put it. They just may not be able to sponsor that. And if you're wondering the price, we don't share the price on Sabbath. But if you and your wife go out to eat in Olive Garden, that's pretty much what it would cost you to sponsor a GLOW rack. Also, in the back, you will see there will be a sign-up sheet. You can sign up to receive a weekly newsletter. So some of the stories we are telling you come weekly. Every Friday we send one story, just one story, and you can receive it through email. So you can put your name down in the back as well as you can check out and say, I'd like to sponsor a GLOW rack. Now, during the 26 days, you will also have the GLOW tracker. And this is fun. This is actually fun, okay? So every day, you want to keep track of how many GLOW tracks did I share today. Easy way to keep track is, let's say you go out into the world with 5 tracks, and you come back with 1. That means you have shared 4 tracks. And so you record how many GLOW tracks you have shared. On the back side, I'd like to invite everybody to set your daily goal. It says, many whom God has qualified to do excellent work accomplish very little because they attempt little. So if we aim for something higher, we'll be sharing many more tracks as well. And so every day, I'd like you to be keeping track of GLOW track. And here's the reason. Every Sabbath, you will be receiving also, for the next 3 Sabbaths, you'll be receiving a little bulletin insert. And in the below the bottom right corner, you see you'll be able to tear off that space, looks like this, and write the number, how many GLOW tracks you passed out or your family, and then you will put it in the offering plate during the offering time, okay? And then Drew will collect those and count them, and then he will record it on the thermometer. They'll be posted up there as well. The goal for the church is 4,000 in the 4 weeks. So we have 1,000 GLOW tracks per week, and I will be part of it, and Leo will be part of it. And so before the Sabbath starts, we'll be texting Drew and say, hey, I passed out 50 GLOW tracks this week. And so he will add it to the tally as well. And so we're going from November 15th through December 11th, and we want to see how the Lord can bless us in reaching that goal of 4,000 or 1,000 per week. Now, this is how GLOW works. If you take one of the GLOW tracks, you can see that for yourself. You'll see that there is information. People can actually listen to Hope Channel through this. And then on the bottom, there is a phone number. There's our address, and there's a website. And so the way it works, you read the track, you pray, and you share the track. Then they read the track. They call us, write us, or email us. Then we pass on the information to the local church, and the church members can follow up, and then you'll see the Lord bring them into the membership of our church as well. They're baptized. Another statement, it says, there are many places in which the voice of the minister cannot be heard, places which can be reached only by our publications, the books, papers, and tracts filled with the Bible truths that the people need. I want to say something about that. I hear about the Strong Tower Radio, and that is an incredible blessing to the community and to the church. An incredible. I hear stories all the time about people who are listening, who've been convicted about the Sabbath, about the message. And I tell you what, the radio station and the publications just work beautifully hand in hand. It's because people study those tracks and they're convicted about it, but then they hear it again. They read those tracks and then they come to our evangelistic meetings. It is so much easier for them to make a decision when they already heard about it, they've been already once convicted, and now they're just making the commitment over again when they come to the meetings. So one way to share the tracts is to simply hand them out. There is another way, there's a modern way to do this as well, but before I do that, I want to tell you a story about Pastor Ben Garcia. He is the pastor in Saginaw. And he decided he wanted to sell some of his homeschooling textbooks that we're using for the children. He would include glow tracks. He would put glow tracks in those books. So he would sell them on eBay, and then he would mail them to the people. And this is the reply he received one day. It says, thank you so much for the free brochures you enclosed about the seventh-day Sabbath. We, too, are Sabbath keepers and love to hear about others that are. So he was able to reach them as well. Here's another way to reach people, and that is through social media. Now, I heard Mark Finley once say that God did not send a tweet. God sent his son. And so it needs to be personal labor. But I also realize that we can use social media for good. And here's one way to do it. In March, we have posted the Sabbath track on our Facebook page. We did not realize what would happen, and it was pretty amazing. At that time, we just had a newly built website, glowcentral.org or glowcentral.com, either way, and we had around 10 to 20 visits per day to our website. The day we have posted the Sabbath track, we had 68 visits to our website that was, you know, didn't get our attention yet. The next day was 249, and we start getting excited about it. 249 visits to our website when it was only 10 to 20. The next day it was 3,200 visits to our website. Now we were excited. In fact, we would check throughout the day, and I would text different people at the conference office, "Hey, check this out! It's now at 2,000 visits or whatever that was at that time." It was 6,500 visits in one day. In one day. People simply reading the Sabbath track on Facebook or on Twitter or something else. And finally, it went up to 16,000 and it peaked at 19,000. With almost 60,000 visits to our Glow website in just 1 week. In just 1 week. And what is amazing, even since that time, we keep... The main reason why people come to our Glow website is still that Sabbath track even today. The Sabbath track is still agitating. It's still out there in front of people's eyes. People are learning about the Sabbath. And you see, one day when they're called to make a decision, they will know what the truth is. And so what happens is when people finish reading the track, on the bottom they can request free Bible studies, or they can keep reading other tracks. And you can see that number right here, 53,000. Alex he's a student, theology student at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He emailed us, and he said that he has read about the Sabbath. He has heard about the Sabbath, but he said after he read the Glow track online, he now keeps the Sabbath. And he said, please send me more. Please, I want to learn more about God's truth. And this is what we can do. We can not only share GloRack with people, not only leave it in places, not only sponsor GloRack, but also we can go to our Glow website, and if you look on the bottom, it says Glow Central. That's the website you want to use. And then, or you can just go straight to glowcentral.com/literature, and then you'll see the Facebook icon. You can just click on it. This is what you'll see. You can click on it and then simply share. If you don't have Facebook page, don't worry about it. Okay, you have GloRack. So this is another way we can be sharing the message. Now you can choose any title you want. We have a Christmas one. Okay, Gift of Joy. You can click on that one and share that track. You can share any track you want. And what's neat about it is that you will share it on your Facebook page and somebody else may like it and share that. And then somebody else will share that. And so the impact you make, you don't really realize at that point. It says more than 1,000 will soon be converted in one day, most of whom will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. I imagine a day when you'll have a lot of visitors in your church. And as you're greeting them, as you are welcoming them in the church, and as you ask them, what brought you here? Most of the testimonies, it says right here, will be, I have read a GloRack. I have read the book, the controversy. Oh, you mean the Great Controversy? Yeah, that's the book I read. Yes. You see, most of them will trace their first convictions to reading our publications. The Lansing Church just concluded in January, but they have just concluded Glowathon, and the members kept on glowing, and that is what we want to see. We want them to keep glowing even after Glowathon is all over. And there were a couple church members who went out to eat, and they overheard a group of Christians praying together. So when they finished praying, they walked over them and said, you know, we heard you pray. We'd like to share with you some Christian tracks. And they gave them some GloRacks. The next day, they called our office. And they said, we got hold of some tracks, and we really like them. We want more information. And so the local Bible worker and my associate ended up going to visit with them. They said, we just love this. We just love those little tracks. And so we'd like to schedule a meeting with our pastor as well. Now, the pastor is a lay pastor. He is a district attorney, prosecuting attorney. And so they met together, and you can just see they love what we have. In fact, they even brought our mega books, and they bought some. And that Sabbath, the Bible worker was telling the story about how they met with the church and how they wanted to adopt the Glow ministry as their official literature distribution ministry in their Sunday keeping church. Now, one of the members was so excited, he says, I want to donate $500 towards the first purchase of GloRack. And that's what he did. Now, what is incredible is this is in his office, okay? I want you to notice this book right here. God Cares. You see, a few months earlier, a co-porter knocked on his door, and he purchased that book. Would you agree with me that God is working in his life? In fact, he signed up for prophecy seminars. He wanted to study prophecies. And so Pastor Justin Ringstaff has been trying to reach him and study the Bible with him. God is in miracle working business. And he performed some miracles during the Glowathon in Lansing, and I know he will be performing miracles even here. And my prayer is that all of us will leave today with a good stack of GloRack, and that we will be praying that God will send us and help us to share with the right people. And ultimately, that we will see people come into the church as a result of this ministry. So let us share literature like never before. What do you say?
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.